101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty in studio, Louisiana Commissioner of Insurance, Tim Temple. First of all, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Thanks for driving all the way up here just to come in and talk to us.
Hey, look, I love being in North Louisiana. I love Shreveport. You know, this is where I actually started my insurance career back in 1994. It was Shreveport.
Wow. Very
well,
cool.
Well, the question everybody wants to know, while we've got you in here, let's start with, are our rates coming down for auto insurance?
Look, we are starting to see that develop. Yes, is the answer for some policyholders. We've recently announced three companies that are taking rate decrease. One of those companies took, I think it was a 7.8% decrease, and that's a statewide average. That doesn't mean everybody is going to see that number, but say a 7.8% decrease, that impacted about 40,000 policyholders, about 80,000 vehicles. We've recently had, just 2 weeks ago, two additional companies taking, I think, a 12% decrease and a 15% decrease. And so, and that's going to impact another 12,000 policies. So we are trending in the right direction. And Mike, I think it's important to say that the reason why, there's two factors that the insurance industry has indicated, those companies. One, they're seeing fewer forecasts for that policy, for this current policy period. So, and Aaron, we were talking about that earlier, about some of the factors about, you know, are the roads safer or the less accidents, that kind of thing. So they saw fewer claims than they forecast, which allows them, when they don't pay as much in expenses, then that allows them to charge less in premium the following year. So that's where that competition works. The other is that they are acknowledging that Louisiana is starting to address some of the issues we have in our marketplace, our legal environment. We worked with the legislature this past year, and we were able to get some bills passed, and the industry's beginning to acknowledge that that will have an impact in the future. So they're hedging a little bit, if you will.
Well, you say they're seeing fewer claims. In my cynical mind, you know, I think of a temporary tax. Well, this is just a temporary tax. Well, there's no such thing. Is a company really going to charge less because they're not paying out as much?
They're doing it. They're doing it now. I mean, look, we see the data. They have to actuarially justify the rates that they ask for. And then we vet and make sure they meet that the math works and that they meet the regulatory and legal requirements of the state of Louisiana. And it's proving out. But again, in a competitive free market system, equate it to the gas station. If they cross the street, lowers their price by 10 cents and you still want customers coming in and buying gas from your gas station, your choices, you either lower the price or you provide a better service so that they're willing to pay more for that. That's the same with insurance. I mean, when companies lower their premiums, they still want you. And if you move your business, they've got to do something to keep you. So
too
it will
many
work.
Too many people, though, get caught in their brain. I've always been an Allstate customer. I've always been a State Farm customer. And you stick with those folks. You've told us before, and it sounds like you're preaching it again today. Shop. Go look.
Shop your insurance. That is the... Always. In a good market, in a bad market, it doesn't matter. Always shop your insurance. I mean, be proud of what you have. Be proud of your home. Be proud of your auto. Make sure that people are competing for your dollars, your hard-earned dollars. And shopping your insurance is the best way. Call your agent. Get them to work. I mean, look, they make commission. You know, they're paid for this. So we're not asking agents to do something that they aren't compensated for. But get them to shop your insurance and get you the best price out there. And it works.
Mm-hmm. I had State Farm for 40 years because when I started driving at 15 back in the day, you get your Dromleben at 15. It was a family friend who was an agent. Anyway, that changed. I shopped and I changed after 40 years.
And look, yesterday we did a pop-up, which I want to talk about a little bit about when we get some time. We did a pop-up office in Lake Charles yesterday and they're doing it again today. There was a gentleman that came in, and he could have saved $2,000 switching his insurance, but he wanted to stay with the company he's with. Mm-hmm. He's happy with the service. He's happy with the agent.
Wow.
He'd had a claim after Hurricane Laura. They handled it properly. He was okay, but he made that decision. But he did it.
And it was
with
worth
knowledge.
It to him.
Right. He did shop. He got other quotes, and he's like, you know what? I'm okay paying more because I'm happy with the company and the service I get. But he did it with eyes open, if you will.
Right,
and I think that's important, though. I mean, you have that option when you go shop, and you may want to pay more. You like who you do business with.
Can we take a break? I want to talk about the pop-ups. I also want to talk about what else do we need to do legislative-wise in the spring to help this momentum continue to build.
Commissioner of Insurance Tim Temple in studio, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
In studio, Commissioner of Insurance Tim Temple, Mike and McCarty. Tim, we were talking a moment ago about these. You were in Lake Charles for a pop-up event. Now, this is really cool. You don't have offices across the state, but you're trying to reach out to people. Tell us about these pop-up events.
Yeah. You know, Mike, we have, you know, our location is in Baton Rouge. It's where all the people that work at the Louisiana Department of Insurance. And we do have people that come in from time to time, local, you know, Baton Rouge area that want to come in and sit down face to face. So this year, questions about their insurance,
right,
or a claim that they're having, or they just want to talk and understand and learn more about the product that we all buy. After the end of session, we don't have any satellite offices. And so I talked with, you know, the people I work with, the deputy commissioners, and said, let's create a process so that we go out into the communities. We set up temporary offices. And, you know, we just did the first one yesterday in Lake Charles. We were at the city hall. They gave us some space, and we had several members from the department's co-workers there, and they were there, you know, and I was there yesterday morning at 6 a.m., but we were there till they were there yesterday, and they'll be there today from like 8:30 to 4. Anybody that wants to come in, if you've got a question about a claim, an active claim you've got, if you bring your policy and you just want to understand some of the terminology, if you want to come in and talk about your premium and understand things that you can do to maybe lower it, that's what we're there for. You can do all of that over the phone, but I find the interaction is much more important. That's why, like, I'm here today. I'd rather be here and look at y'all than call in.
When are you planning to do them in Shreveport?
We are going to this first one, as I said, is going on in Lake Charles. We're going to look and see, you know, what works, what we need to refine. We're going to be doing them. I don't have a schedule that I can tell you, but we are going to be continuing this process. We've gotten some good reviews from it already. And we will be in Shreveport. We'll be in Monroe, West Monroe. We'll do Alexandria, Natchitoches. I mean, we're going to be around the state, so don't have to feel compelled to come to Baton Rouge to have
That's
their government work
idea.
For them.
Or try to get
on
through on
stage
the phone.
Behind chicken wire, though.
We asked before the break, what else needs to be done legislatively that you're going to present to lawmakers in the spring to keep the momentum of our rates going down moving forward?
Yeah, Aaron, you know, I'm really thankful to the legislature for last year's session and this year's session, the momentum that we've gained. I think we've done more reform in the last 2 years than we have in the last 20 as far as insurance reform. The legislature is hyper-focused on it because the people of Louisiana are hyper-focused on it. I mean, we're still in a crisis. We still have an affordability issue in our state. We still have an availability issue, and certainly in South Louisiana on property insurance. And so we got some good legislation passed this year in 2025, that was focused really on legal reform, primarily in the auto sector. We still need more because, while I mentioned earlier, we've got rates coming down for private passenger auto, commercial trucking is still going up. You know, the companies that write that line of business are still paying out. I think this year, the last year's loss ratio was 136%. So that means for every dollar of premium that they took in, they paid out $1.36.
Is that a nationwide problem or a Louisiana problem?
It is a Louisiana problem specific. Other states have affordable loss ratios. Louisiana, we have a problem. It's, you know, and again, we talked about this, you know, I think we talked about this on your show before. In Louisiana, we don't have a problem with the number of accidents. We don't have a frequency problem.
Mm-hmm.
We get in the same number of accidents about the national average. We don't have a problem, you know, look, not everybody in the state drives Ferraris. So, and when we do get in a wreck, our Ford F-150 doesn't cost more to repair here than if you go
to Texas.
10 miles to the west in Texas, the cost is still the same to repair. So it's not more expensive. It's when we get in that accident, we file twice the number of bodily injury claims, and we litigate three times the national average. That's the problem in Louisiana. We need to disincentivize the abuse of the system. That's the legislation that was passed before. We are going to continue. And Aaron, I'm not sidestepping your question. We don't have the list of bills that we want to bring next year. We're working on that.
Is it lawyers abusing the system, or is it the policy holders abusing the system?
Well, look, it starts, you know, the phones don't ring automatically like that. They don't call automatically yet, right? And so it takes us to do the action.
Mm-hmm.
But again, what drives that action? And, you know, we were talking a little bit about, you know, the technology in cars.
Sure.
Track your car, you know, your speed and your driving and braking. It's behavior. It's learned behavior.
Mm.
And why have we learned behavior? You know, there's arguments on the advertising issue. We can't stop advertising, and I'm never going to say that we should stop advertising, because we can't. That we still live in a free country, and that's a First Amendment right. We need to disincentivize a system that rewards people for filing claims that sometimes aren't just. They didn't have the bodily injury. They don't need... You know,
people jumping on the bus after the accident.
Well said.
I think we were talking off mic a little bit earlier. Like my wife's car, she's got a much newer car than my 2012 pickup truck. If she's driving down the interstate, and this personally, no pun intended, drives me nuts. If I want to change lanes, I have to use my turn signal. Otherwise, the car will fight me.
Yes.
And stay in the lane. No, you idiot. And I go, okay, turn on the, or I'll. Mm-hmm. Technology like this, all of these sensors and these, and not really self-driving, but self-assisting drive assist vehicles, are they helping lower cost in seeing these lower, fewer claims like you mentioned a minute ago?
Yeah. Anecdotally, I'll say yes, because I don't have the hard data, and I need to look at the National Highway Safety Institute to see. But I would think that type of technology prevents those minor, you know, collisions like that, mm-hmm. the ones where you do more like the fender bender.
You're not going to drive into somebody on the interstate in the other lane.
Or even like, you know, vehicles now have that auto brake. If you start to roll up to a car, they'll either apply the brake, they'll alert you, or both. That should help stop some of these minor accidents. It's kind of like in the work comp industry. Over the years, we have seen, and look, rates have gone down in the work comp industry, I think 19 consecutive years. But in the work comp space, there are fewer minor injuries because of just general safety mm-hmm. practices and technology and whatnot. But when you do get injured, it tends to be more severe. So I think that maybe that might be a potential trend on the auto. You won't see as many small fender benders. I'll call them fender benders. Mm-hmm. But perhaps it's going to be when cars do get in accidents, it might be more serious because of, you know, technology helping prevent.
Our last minute here. Do we still in Louisiana have an uninsured motorist problem?
Look, you know, that comes up a lot, Aaron. And the numbers I see constantly say that we do not. We are at the national average. We're actually below the national average.
Really?
Of uninsured motorists. Now, look, there are certainly some areas of the state. I believe New Orleans is one that has a higher, you know, in our state specifically, it's higher there than the average for the state. But Louisiana has, we're at the national average of uninsured motorists. Where we are an outlier is underinsured.
Okay.
40% of the vehicles on the road carry minimum limits. Mm-hmm. And what that means, Aaron, is that if I get in a wreck with you mm-hmm. and I cause the accident, your car needs to be repaired. My insurance company pays for it. If I'm carrying minimum limits and it doesn't cover the amount
Bentley?
Yes. Then your insurance has to pay for it.
Oh,
so the underinsured motorist portion of your premium is higher.
Wow.
That's part of the drivers, the driver of the cost. It's we have, and look, when you're paying as much as we are in premiums, if we were to raise minimum limits, then I think the uninsured mm-hmm. motorist
right.
rate would go up.
Catch
people would
22,
say,
I can't,
right. So we got to do better. At some point in time, we do need to raise minimum limits, but certainly now is not the time.
Let us know when the pop-ups are coming up so we can get the word out. Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you. Glad
really
to be
good.
Here in Shreveport, and
up.
Y'all have a great Christmas.
Mm-hmm. You too. Good.
Commissioner of Insurance, Tim Temple, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
We spoke to Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser yesterday. One of the big concerns that a lot of you had was about him naming these two Brits as Louisiana ambassadors. after they trashed Shreveport. Hear what he has to say right after the break. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, and on the free Keel app.
Big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Good morning, Lieutenant Governor.
Good morning, my friends. How you doing?
Well, we're doing very well. We've got a lot of things we want to talk to you about, but let's get this out of the way first. One of our messages that came across our message board. And let me quote this directly. Ask Billy Nungesser why he sent a proclamation to those two British guys making them ambassadors for the state of Louisiana after they trashed Shreveport on the internet for the whole world to see. That's
the
quote.
I didn't see the video on Shreveport. I saw the other 50. Well, not all of them, but I saw many of the videos they did all over Louisiana, which got a lot of positive exposure. I understand the video for Shreveport, where they got a really bad experience at a hotel there when they first came into Louisiana.
Yeah, some say so, they picked the flea-baggiest hotel on purpose and took video of it, claiming, well, this is horrible, but now look what we found in Lake Charles, and it was all a promotion for this
casino.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know the contents of how they got there and came. What I'm hopeful is that, you know, we've invited them back to Wadi Mardi Gras. Hopefully we can get them to come back to Shreveport and talk about all the good things that go on in Shreveport. I just went through a similar situation with a group from out of town, stayed in a hotel in New Orleans, had a laptop stolen. The manager said, there's nothing I can do. Found out 10 other people had stuff stolen out of their rooms. So I'm dealing with the owners of the hotel that are out of town that this is not a good message. We had a similar thing in Natchitoches with some problems with the hotel there. And I got to work with our convention and visit bureaus to maybe make sure these hotels are not portraying a bad image for our cities, because, you know, that's a big part of anybody's stay, and try to get these hotels that are not up to par to clean up their act and either that or sell them and let someone else take and renovate them. But yeah, I was made aware of it after the fact, and I'm sorry that happened, and hopefully we can get them back.
Yeah, there's a lot of nice places in Shreveport we can put them up. The Remington downtown is a locally owned luxury hotel that's beautiful, as are others in town.
Absolutely, and I'll convey that if I get a chance to meet them when they come back from Mardi Gras, and hopefully get them up there. I'll make that personal pitch, because you're right. They do have a lot of followers, and they did portray a lot of great things all over Louisiana that have people going to those sites wanting to visit there. So we got a lot of great publicity. I'm sorry that happened, and hopefully we can fix and get some positive publicity going forward.
We have great events in our area for Christmas. We have Natchitoches. We have the Rose Center. We have the Lumiere private park in DeSoto Parish. So much is happening for the holidays all over the state, but our area has so much to offer. Folks need to come visit, right?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things we do every holiday season is we do a lot of social media posts about all the, you know, rockets over the Red River Firework Fest. You're right, Christmas in Roseland, all those things we promote and push out. And we start early on because we want Louisianans, as I did, invited my wife's family from Texas to come spend Thanksgiving, spend a week here, do your Christmas shopping here, rather than getting that traffic or fight the airport and leave town. we want Louisianans to invite their family and friends to come in from out of town and spend the holidays here in Louisiana. And I tell you, Stacy does a great job with the convention with her team in helping promote all these special celebrations during the holiday seasons to make that happen. So, you know, we do have so many great things going on through the holidays.
Is Natchitoches still, Billy, is it still the number one holiday attraction in the state?
I don't know that. That's a good question. I know it's a big draw. I've ridden in the Christmas parade. I've gone up several years and turned on the lights, and I was amazed at the people from all over the world that I met there during Christmas holidays, because, you know, they do a great job at decorating, and that old hardware store that's been in the same family 100 years has unbelievable Christmas decorations. And it's been a big draw. I don't know if it's still number one, but I know it's getting visitors from all over the world for Christmas.
Independence Bowl. You have to know that's, you know, to have that bowl game in our community, December 30th, it's a good time this year. How big is that for Louisiana? We get a lot of national publicity on the TV broadcast.
We do, and we get a lot of, hopefully we'll get some good teams that will bring a good following. We've been very lucky to have that happen in the past. We want a team that has a good following to fill up the hotels in the region. It is a great opportunity to not only promote the area nationally, but also to bring some economic benefit to the area. So it's something we're going to promote and really do our best job to fill the stands and also fill the hotels for that weekend.
Yeah, they have the opportunity to do visit Shreveport-Bossier videos that really show Shreveport-Bossier in a great light on a national scale.
Absolutely. Look, we are going around this year is we're promoting the great outdoors of Louisiana. As a matter of fact, you know, we ended out the year, our year of food, with our Rose Parade float, which the theme is teamwork, and we're promoting it takes a great team to build a pot of gumbo, from the crops that come out the ground to the seafood, to the spices, to the chefs, to the restaurants. Mike Strain will be riding on the float. He'll be out there in California doing interviews with me all over the world, talking about all the great products we grow, produce, and package here in Louisiana, not only promoting tourism. And we'll have a big pelican stirring that pot of gumbo, talking about the crawfish, the seafood. So it's a great opportunity to end the year of food that we're promoting all over the world with that float this year. And then we roll into next year promoting the great outdoors of Louisiana. I tell people you can fish anywhere, but you catch fish in Louisiana. Our mountain bike trails, our state parks, the Atchafalaya Basin, Toledo Bend, all the great parks and outdoor canoeing activities, hiking. We've got a new bird trail that we're promoting. People are going all over the world bird watching. It's become really big. We're launching a new bird trail. So we're really going to make an effort to let the world see Sportsman's Paradise this year and promote the great outdoors of Louisiana. And surely there's great opportunities across North Louisiana.
That brings up my last question. I just got a text from folks at Caddo Parish that said, Billy is coming to the grand opening next month of our Walter B. Jacobs Nature Park. $20 million facility that's going to have an exhibit hall, all kinds of hands-on stuff for children in the great outdoors. That's going to be a huge plus for our area, correct?
It really is. Those are the kind of things. You know, when you look at an area, you look at cleanliness, crime, and new attractions. And those are the things that we have focused on in every area of the state. That's why I took over Keep Louisiana Beautiful 3 years ago, because we had a very dirty state. We're making great progress. We still got a long way to go. But promoting these new attractions that give us a new tool in our toolbox to bring new people and bring people back to an area are so important. And that's a huge tool in our toolbox, especially as we promote the great outdoors of Louisiana. So it's perfect timing. We're looking forward to that and using that tool to get people to move around North Louisiana and visit North Louisiana.
Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. Thump those Brits in the head when they get here, all right?
I will. I'm going to bring them to meet you. You'll take care of them.
I will take care. Oh, yeah.
Bring them up here. We'd love to have them on the show.
Thank you, my friend.
I'll do my best to get them on, my friend. Y'all have a great day.
Always a pleasure. Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I know we've got a lot about the MPC meeting last night.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot to discuss. Later this morning, I want to find some point. I want to talk a little bit about AI.
Yeah, we have to do that.
We talked a little bit about it yesterday with the Shreveport Regional Arts Council.
I've changed their name. To SRAIC. Shreveport Regional AI Council. I'm teasing. Please don't come for me.
And if you haven't heard, if you missed it yesterday, apparently there was some AI images that were used in some promotions for some events that they've got coming up. I think they've got a cookie competition or something.
Yep.
And they used, allegedly,
They've admitted it.
Mm-hmm. So, AI pictures of cookies as opposed to using local people.
Go to Louders and take some pictures.
And local artists got involved. And so, but it brings up, and I can see how they would go, like, just knock this out.
It's easy. Some marketing person did it.
Right. And so I can see how that would be an easy decision. Let's get this flyer up or whatever it is. But it brings up a bigger conversation. And I do have a story on keelnews.com that goes into, is this just the natural progression? There was a time when, and I use the example of shoes.
Sure.
Shoes used to be handmade.
Mm-hmm.
One at a time.
Yep.
Handcrafted. Now they're in automobiles. Used to be handcrafted. Now the demand wasn't as big.
Sure.
So there's argument. Is AI just the next natural progression?
Not if you are in the business of promoting local artists.
No, I understand. and again, I'm talking on a larger scale.
Yes, I get you.
I came across, and again, I will go into this deeper, if not later this morning, very soon. They had a survey on people that could not distinguish between actual musicians, Ruben.
Oh, boy.
And AI musicians and AI music. This is music and songs created by artificial intelligence.
Ooh.
Not even humans.
Which cost you no money for the most part.
And people could not distinguish between real musicians and AI music.
Yeah, it's tough. It's definitely tough. And the fact is, this has existed for a while. At the very least, you know, these pop artists, these people, you know, you hear on other stations, they're using AI to write their songs. There's no doubt about it.
Wow.
Like they're using ChatGPT to write songs for them. And that kind of makes me sick to my stomach.
And mark my words.
As an artist, as a songwriter and performer, sure.
I wrote Dirt Track Trophy Queen, man. I get AI to do that.
Yeah. And we're going to play that, too.
And I don't think we can. It might be our last day. We also need to remember next year is an election year. You thought AI was big in the mayor's race.
Right.
You wait until next year when these AI commercials start hitting. Holy cow.
These baby videos of Kennedy quotes.
Oh, man.
I tell you, and it says, And they look so real.
Oh, it's going to be huge next year. These AI ads that you're going to see next year will be unbelievable.
And the sad thing is, Aaron, a lot of people are going to fall for it.
Oh, tons of people.
A lot of people that aren't even aware of AI created content.
Yep, absolutely.
Are going to see videos of Donald Trump, you know, hitting babies in the head with a bat.
Oh, no doubt.
Well, I saw him hitting babies with in the head with a bat. I saw a video of it.
Gosh. Yeah, no kidding. There were lots of opponents yesterday at the MPC meeting. You will hear from Reverend Reginald Dodd. He was one of the first that got up to speak against the data center. Here's some of his comments coming up after 7.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com. Mike and McCarty. When we first started talking about this yesterday, and doing some research, and Greg's got a great story on keelnews.com, which is Liz initially broke this with the Shreveport-Bossier Advocate, Liz Swain, and she did a lot of work on that. There's a lot of things about this that I wasn't aware of. That was like, okay, I can kind of understand people's concern.
Right.
My initial reaction is awesome. Let's bring this huge, huge, hopefully job provider to our area.
Yesterday in the meeting, if you heard, the developer said it's 100 to 150 jobs. That's what he said. So see, it's not hundreds of jobs.
Right. That's less than I would have expected for something that size. But then you start, when you look at these data centers in other locations, and the people's concerns, first of all, is their electricity bill goes up. And then the noise is a constant. I thought, for some reason, what came to my mind years ago, not so much now, but years ago, remember just driving through Longview, you could smell that Eastman Kodak plant.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Just on I-20 driving through.
Yeah.
You could not know where you were and go, oh, we're in Longview.
Yeah.
Could you imagine living there?
Oh, boy. Yeah, no kidding.
I suppose you get used to it. Otherwise, everybody would have left.
Right. It's the concerns that were raised yesterday by a lot of folks ranged from, you know, water, electricity, noise, all kinds of issues.
A lot of people spoke. Brandon Sneed with the Shreveport Water and Sewerage spoke and said, we're fine.
Got plenty of water.
We can handle it, no problem. Michael Corbin from SWEPCO got up and spoke and said, it's not going to be an issue.
Right. But on the opposing side, one of the leading opponents was Reverend Reginald Dodd. And his remarks, we can't play them all. I think he went about 15 minutes, but
so they don't have like a 3-minute time limit.
Well,
in
they
this
do,
type meeting.
But then they can ask him questions. So some of the members were asking him questions, but he got up and his first concern, he was talking about noise.
So there's constant noise, and the problem about the noise is this. There was I-20 and Highway 80 have been referenced. I'm only feet away from 80 every day in my office, and I'm not far from I-20, which is just across. There are a few trees there. Yes, I hear trucks, I hear cars, but it is not a constant sound. It is not a constant noise that's being made that is generated by data centers. They are talking about a 150-foot tree line. These buildings are 400,000 square feet each, 69 feet high, with turbines or fans blowing air to cool down and make noise. air coming out of the sides of the buildings that make noise. It's not the decibel level. It has to do with the drone. If you've ever heard a car with a subwoofer come through your neighborhood or where you were, you hear it long before it gets there because those sounds travel further. These data centers give off sounds that are at lower decibel levels that cause this sound to travel through walls. You felt that bass come through your house if you've ever had someone with a subwoofer. You don't hear the music. You hear the bass, the low sounding sounds. And then so some of that sound's going to come from the top. Many of these places have had sound mitigating material put around them, and it does no good because of the type of sound that it is. And we still haven't had, I'll say again, we don't have a commitment from SWEPCO to say this won't affect everybody else. It shouldn't be in the neighborhood affecting all of these people, their property value, their health. It definitely needs more investigation, and more information needs to be shared beyond what we have. Okay. I know that there have to have been studies and other information, other impacts that would demonstrate what the total impact would be. And then can we know what these other potential sites are? That would be, I mean, can it be somewhere else? It's not. Don't bring a data center to Shreveport, but don't put them in neighborhoods. I mean, we heard a whole lot of talk about oil change business near Ellerby. My God, what would happen if this was down on Ellerby?
Okay, thank you.
Pretty valid point.
He raises some valid points, mm-hmm. but I think we're too early in the process to start just going, no, no, no.
Right.
Let's let the process move forward and mm-hmm. get more information. We're not going, yes, okay, and then start construction.
Right. Well, here's how the vote went. The MPC has 9 members. There was a motion to approve this data center or the special use, and that measure failed on a 4-4 vote. One of the board members...
But there are 9 members.
One of them had to leave early, so wasn't there when it came to... The meeting droned on, and I think the MPC commissioners got there early in the day. The meeting started at 3. They got there earlier for, you know, preliminary
this
stuff.
This member that left...
No, they all get there early.
Okay.
They get there early to do preliminary stuff. And then the meeting went 3.5 hours. It's 6:30 at night. And so one of the members, I believe he's a restaurateur, he had to leave early. I mean, he's got restaurants to run, I guess. And so he had, you know, big things happening and had to go. I hate that was that it ended on a tie vote. But... you know, I did reach out to the mayor, and he did tell me that is appealable to the city council so that the applicant can now say, okay, I'm going to appeal this no vote to the city council, and they can then issue the special use permit if they choose to do so. But again, you will have another big public hearing. I'm sure there'll be people that'll show up and try to kill it there. You know, my opinion is let's learn more about it. But it's kind of a cart before the horse sort of thing. You don't know who it is. You
right.
don't know specifics about, you know, when it could start construction, you know, all that kind of thing, before you have to give it kind of a green light.
I know there's a lot of NDAs that have been signed.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an actual client or that they just haven't named yet, or there's maybe been interest or just discussion?
They're not saying much. They're not saying much about it. I would assume to get this far, there's a fish on the hook.
Right.
I would, and that's just my betting self. There's a fish on the hook, and they all these folks, they look at different sites. Does this give them a bad taste in their mouth
for
Shreveport?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Is that then they go, okay, well, we're not going to Longview or Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
Let's head down the road.
Let's head down the road. We can get a deal down there.
A lot more places we can go.
A lot quicker. We can stay on I-20 and be, you know, an hour away from where we originally wanted to be. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope the city council at least lets you know, let's look at it. They've all signed NDAs, so they know way more than we do. But that's the problem. The residents don't get to know that. The ones who are going to have to deal with it don't get to know. And that's part of this whole problem. That's part of why they're so upset, is y'all may know more than we do, but we're going to be the ones living next to it. So anyway, it's a bit of a mess.
It yeah, very interesting.
Failed on a 4-4 vote.
So would you say it failed or postponed? There'll
no.
be an appeal.
Well, it failed at the MPC level.
Right.
Now, the only way they could bring it back up at the MPC level, if somebody from the prevailing side, which I would guess would be one of the no votes, decides to bring it back up, and then we would find out how the member who left.
But there was no prevailing side.
Well, no, it got turned down. So if you voted no, you won. Okay. You were the winner. You're
right.
The prevailing side.
Okay.
Because, you know, you have to get one vote more than the other side, and when it's a tie, it's defeated. So, you know, will the other side bring it back up? I would highly doubt it. I would highly doubt it. So now it's headed to the city council, probably on a fast track, I bet. We'll see.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Tim Fletcher with sports next.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, my initial, I don't know. Again, we're talking about the data center in the big Metropolitan Planning Commission meeting yesterday. Packed house, by
mm-hmm.
the way.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd have been proud of me. I watched a little bit of it yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was in my studio working late in the afternoon, and I got your text, and you said, "Here, I'm sending you this link." And
okay.
I turned it on.
I'll be darned. I'm impressed.
Even though I was working, I got to see a little bit of Michael Corbin. I got to see a little bit of Brandon Snead addressing the commission.
Right.
I didn't really hear any of the people, but I don't know. Just the fact that it didn't move forward, it's just kind of...
I hope that doesn't hurt us. I really do. I hope that we can.
That's same here.
Regroup, take another look, ease some of the concerns. I was a little bit upset by hearing the developers say when they said, "Would you be amenable to another public hearing? You know, having another meeting and letting the public come out and see the slides and see everything." And they were not so much. It was like, we followed what your requirements are. We sent the notices out to the people within the however many feet it was, and 14 people showed up. We did what we were supposed to
mm-hmm,
do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to have to jump through any more hoops like that again. We did what we were supposed to do. We're having this hearing today. And if you're just joining us, the MPC voted 4-4 for the special permit, which means that it fails.
But what was the point of the meeting if it's now just going to go to the council and could pass at that point? So what was the point of this at all?
You are a genius. It was going to the council anyway.
That's what I'm saying.
It was going to the council for a decision anyway.
What's the point of all of
this?
Well,
some council members do take into consideration the action of the MPC. And they say, look, the MPC has fully vetted this, fully studied it, had the public hearings. So I'm going to side with what their decision was. Others, for the most part, most of them make their decision based on how they feel and what their reaction is. Because, look, the MPC members aren't the ones probably getting the calls. The city council members are probably getting the calls.
Right. In this location on Greenwood Road, I know we're against the clock.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk more later. But this location on Greenwood Road is in the city limits.
It is, and it's in Ursula Bowman's district. And she actually may be the deciding vote. I mean, if the council is kind of split, she might be the deciding vote. And I promise you she's taking calls on this. I promise you. She's getting blown up about this. So it's headed to the council. I would assume a pretty fast track. I don't know, you know, probably right after the first of the year. Unless maybe it can get on their December agenda for the next meeting. I don't know.
Aaron's got the news next. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Maybe we'll turn on our mics.
Helps if I turn my microphone on. I'm midway through a sentence. Ruben, I want you to get ready. When we get back, I want to ask you a question You're a dog owner.
Yep.
Ruben, you have been a dog owner.
Yes.
Okay. I want to ask you a question when we get back.
All right.
As dog people. Okay? Because even dog people are on either side of this. It has nothing to do with what we've been talking about. I saw this and I thought, well, this is interesting.
Yeah.
So just get ready when we get back. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, I know we only have a couple of minutes, but crap.
No, we have 7 minutes. Six minutes, whatever it is. You're scaring me.
The restaurant on Line Avenue, was it Pizza Rev? Was that the name of it?
Yeah, it's Saint Laurent now. Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't remember what it was. I remember we used to love going to Pizza Rev. You went through the line, you kind of built your own,
right?
But it was also it was fun. They had that kind of the outside area.
Yes.
You sat outside where the bar was also, which we loved doing. But one of the things that I thought was cool was it was dog friendly.
Mm-hmm.
You could be out there and somebody had their dog sitting there.
Yes.
And I saw a thing that said, I'm a dog person. It didn't bother me at all. Would it bother you if you went to a restaurant and not just outside, maybe it was even inside, and dogs were allowed in and dogs were there?
It doesn't bother me as long. This is so weird because I love my dog, Bo, and he's with some friends right now. But if my server starts petting the dog, that's when I have a problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Because I'm not following them into the kitchen to make sure they're washing their hands every time they touch the dog.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, but you cook in your own house and you pet the dog and go right back to cooking, right?
Never, Ruben. I wash my hands every time. Come on now.
Wow. Yeah. No, I mean,
no, I don't handle the dog and then handle food.
Try not to.
Even at home.
I try not to, but I'm sure it probably has happened. He's probably right. And I've survived it.
But no, but then there, but when you're talking about serving the public, health code violations are
big
very
time.
Strict. So
a
server wouldn't be allowed to do that.
Right. They're not allowed to touch the dogs. I don't know. And I used to like it at Twisted Root. They had kind of a outside thing there set up and you could bring the dogs and they could actually, you know, have a good time playing. It was just nice. We have several like that in town.
Are there?
Yeah, there are several where you can bring your pups. And it's a big attraction for some people.
Okay.
They love it.
I have to find out because I didn't realize there were more.
Oh, there are a bunch. Yeah.
Well, at my band's last show, a lady brought in her pet possum. So.
Oh, my.
That's right. I got a picture with your possum.
I have a problem with that.
Possums.
Let's just say.
Possums are awesome, by the way.
They're weird little creatures.
They're weird, but they're awesome creatures. They don't carry rabies. They're immune to a lot of other, like, snake bites and things. And they eat grubs and ticks, and they're awesome to have around.
They're the ugliest animal on earth.
No, they're not.
They're ugly.
They're actually really cute. They got a weird nose, but they're cute. Possum.
No. Why aren't you raccoon? Where art thou? Now they're cute.
I will say I like possums, but when I held that one and his fleshy tail wrapped around my arm, that was kind of a creepy
thing. Oh yeah, I bet that was, no doubt.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault is going to weigh in on the MPC meeting from last night and his thoughts on the data center and the vote. Coming up right after the news, top of the hour. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Yeah, if you know of a dog-friendly restaurant, shoot us a text or a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board.
We have several.
Someplace that you like to go that you're okay. Dogs are there?
Mm-hmm. I know Maryland's used to have a dog friendly.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure when they reopen, they probably will remain because people love that. They love to bring their dogs over there. So then they're remodeling.
And I know that because with the Humane Society, we used to do a lot of things at the Humane Society. Mm-hmm. Boz was always just so welcoming.
Absolutely.
And allowed the dogs. Of course, there was a lot of outside seating.
Sure.
Well, most of it was if they opened those big roll-up doors.
Absolutely. And I'm not sure, are those rolling doors going to be gone when they do the new one?
I
don't know. I hadn't looked.
Yeah, don't know.
We'll see. I'm curious
when they're
reopening.
In Key Mexico. Allowed the Humane Society there. They got the huge.
Oh, they sure do.
Outdoor seating.
They sure do. That's true.
They were real. Those guys were just great working with the Humane Society on our mm-hmm. on fundraiser there the other night.
A lot of people that want to take their pooches and go, you know, go sit down and have a meal. And so many of the dogs are so well behaved. I mean, they just sit
right.
at the table.
Well, hopefully, you would not bring a dog. Like I wouldn't be able to bring Sunny, our dog.
Yeah, not happening. Right.
Our other one now, we could.
Okay.
Our other one, we could.
Well-mannered.
She's very, very quiet, very well-mannered.
I don't know who it's another dog story, but it's a terrifying dog story. Adopts a dog from the local shelter. The dog was hyper, and they thought, you know, it'll take some time. It'll calm down. First day or second day, the dog was at the house, and the humans had to leave to go somewhere. Dog was just chilling, I think on the sofa, chilling. They came home. This is a friend of mine who shall remain nameless, who's in the looking for furniture today, by the way. Came home.
I knew that's where you were going.
Every cushion.
No.
On everything in the living room. Sofas, chairs, everything. Torn to shreds. Said it looked like there was 2 feet of snow in the living room when they got home.
Oh, gosh.
And they're like, I don't know if we can keep this dog. How do you break a dog of that? Of chewing up cushions.
Furniture, yeah.
And pillows and anything that's fluffy like that was just shredded. I mean, if you had a towel, it would shred the towel. And I thought, oh, man, you'd have to kennel them. I mean, you'd have to kennel them when you're gone.
Right.
Otherwise, you're going to have a mess every time. I thought, oh, man.
I wonder if
imagine
it was like
walking.
Separation anxiety or something.
Maybe so. Maybe that you left me
so
here.
So you just can't leave the house ever again.
No, you're stuck. You're or the dog comes with.
Right.
Dog goes with you everywhere you go. So and I thought, oh, I don't know what I would do to the dog if I got. I would be angry. I know I would be angry. And I would have to be. I'm gonna kill you.
Come but into you're, the house to that.
To 2 feet of snow in your living room. And all your cushions are destroyed.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault joining us after the local news, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, the Honorable Mayor of Shreveport, Tom Arsenault joining us. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning.
Huge meeting last night, packed house, but kind of a disappointing outcome. Or was it? Were you disappointed with the outcome of the vote? It was a 4-4 vote, so it did not move forward.
We're talking about the data center at the MPC.
Sorry,
yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I had no idea what you're talking about.
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't set it up right. The huge data center, the possibility of a data center. We'll say that.
I think the thing people need to remember about this is in an industrial park. This was not a rezoning. This is in an I-1 industrial park that is set aside. These are the areas that we asked NLEP to market Shreveport for. And it is disappointing that there was not more support for it. In light of the fact that most data centers make investments in the billions, that's with a B, of dollars, and there are a lot of benefits. So hopefully there'll be some education and some of the people who were opposing it. I think some of the arguments against it were not well based. They were honestly held, but not well based.
Like which ones? Which ones are off the mark for the most part?
I think some of the ones that said that that utility rates would go up, and there is no evidence of that, because they pay for all of the infrastructure improvements and that benefit not just the project, but benefit the surrounding area. So it's hard to ask NLEP to market Shreveport when Shreveport says, okay, when you come to the table, we're not interested.
It's kind of, honestly, when I heard this morning, it's kind of embarrassing. We got a message on the Shreveport Security.
Your own article had a lot of fallacious statements in it. Not y'all, but your reporter. And when you check those things out, they just turn out not to be accurate.
Mm. We got a message that said Shreveport is about to send the technology world that we don't want you here. We need to be a forward-thinking community. We don't have companies wanting to come into our community every day.
Now, this is a black eye for economic development. So hopefully the city council will take a careful look at it.
That's kind of what I'm afraid of. Mayor, I do have a question. We were hoping, this is such a huge complex, but then I've heard reports that it was only going to be about 100-150 jobs or so. It's not a retail outlet or something that with a product to sell. What's the revenue generating? We know it's going to be tax revenue. Could there be revenue in the sale of water to the city?
Oh, there's a tremendous revenue increase in the sale of water. And in fact, there is an item on the city council special meeting agenda that deals with the sale of water. With respect to the data center.
Let me ask you about the council. We're heading into an election year. Their phones will ring off the hook about this. I don't even know if we have hooks on phones anymore, but you know what I mean.
Right.
It is.
That'll be another one of those things, Aaron, where we say it, but we have no idea what it really means.
Somebody's going to look up the entomology of off the hook.
Right. That has to concern you. What is the temperature of the council on this yet? Do you have any idea?
Well, I have not spoken with council members about it. I think I would think that if the city wants to have economic development, they have to take a hard look at, you know, we have to make difficult choices to get billions of dollars of investment in our city and a lot of infrastructure that we would not otherwise have paid for by somebody else. So I think there are a lot of positives about this. Whenever you have zoning cases, it is always the opponents who show up. It is not the hundreds and hundreds of other people who think this is a good idea. They don't show up. Like I say, I think some of the arguments were well-meaning and honestly held, but not holding water.
Concerns about noise that were brought up by Reverend Dodd, that it sounds like a bass thumping all day. Is that a real concern? Are there any things that this applicant could do to mitigate that?
Yeah, as I appreciate it, they've taken noise readings, and the noise from I-20 is louder than the noise that will be generated by this. That's the information that I have.
Are you concerned, as we speak today, after this vote from the MPC, a tie vote essentially, which killed it, that this applicant may say, Longview looks good. Peace out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope not, but that is obviously a concern.
That would be a big loss.
It would be a huge loss. Not just for this project, but for
exactly
when we're competing with other communities, they're going to say, look, the people of Shreveport don't want this kind of thing.
What is your message this morning to the members of the Metropolitan Planning Commission who voted no? Were they ill-informed? Were they just the large crowd swayed them? What do you say to them this morning?
Well, I hope that they will look more carefully at other applications. The MPC has had a reputation as being anti-business, and this does not help that reputation.
Whoa, that's kind of strong. Does it need? Does our MPC need revamping?
Possibly.
Is that something you would start moving on?
Possibly.
Interesting. How soon?
Very interesting.
Soon.
You sound a little ticked this morning.
You actually do. You sound a little aggravated, Mayor.
I'm just answering your questions.
I get it. So when you say revamp the MPC, dismiss them all and start over?
Well, I don't know that we can do that locally. I don't know whether or not we could do that locally. But one of the things that we're under consideration is to bring it into the city as a department. Now that they only have city jurisdiction, that seems to make sense, and that's something that I'm looking very carefully at, something possibly in the first quarter of 2026.
Interesting. So you're optimistic that when this gets to the council that they will take another look?
I try and maintain an optimistic viewpoint all the time, and so I'm going to have that optimistic viewpoint until I'm proven otherwise.
Mayor, I know you've signed an NDA, or I would assume you've signed an NDA. We don't know. And one of the concerns that was brought up is, well, we don't know anything really about this. We don't know who, if anyone, is looking at this property. Is somebody specific looking at this property?
I can't answer that question.
As he takes a sip of his coffee, right? I can tell. I'm jealous.
It was water, but that's okay. All
right. Okay. So what do we have a time frame for when these folks want this approved and they want to, you know, they want to move forward?
Well, they definitely want to move forward. And one of the things to remember is if you look at what's happening over in Northeast Louisiana, there's a huge building and construction boom. These things take years to unfold. And if you just look at the kind of boom that's happening in Monroe and in that whole area, this is something seriously to consider if we want to have industrial jobs and high paying jobs come into the city of Shreveport. For example, we've got the Libby plant. The Libby plant is an industrial site. When we're trying to market that site, people are going to look to these kinds of decisions and say, well, we're going to cross Shreveport off the list because you spend 2 or 3 years trying to bring everything to fruition. And when you come in, you get turned down.
That's disappointing.
Gotcha. Absolutely.
Very disappointing. Mm-hmm. Mayor, just real quick, in the last 30 seconds, what message do you think needs to be changed to change what seems to be the prevalent public opinion?
Well, I'm not sure it's a prevalent public opinion. I think it's the opinion of people who happen to show up because they thought their ox was in the ditch. That's the difference. That does not mean that's reflective of public opinion in general.
Gotcha.
Okay, good point.
Gotcha.
Mayor, thank you so much, and I know we'll be talking soon. Looking forward to our Ask the Mayor segment next week.
I'm looking forward to it myself.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. Coming up here in about 20 minutes or so, we're also going to talk with the, we're not stalking him, we're going to talk to Attorney Michael Busada, who did address the commission last night, and hear what he's got to say about the data center. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Mayor just dropped the bomb in the room. Boom!
You and I both looked at each other. What? What?
Disbanding the MPC. Taking it in-house. If you remember, the Caddo Commission did kind of the same thing. A few years ago, they decided, you know,
because it used to be partially funded by both the city and the parish.
Right. It was a separate entity. Parish and the city funded it almost equally, maybe a little bit off balance. But Shreveport has way more applicants, obviously. And the Caddo Parish Commission decided to pull out.
Right.
And they decided we'll do a special contract with them
to do some
of our things.
Because you don't have businesses as much in the parish as you do within the city.
Right. And we can do our own planning. We can do our own, you know, rules, et cetera, for the parish. Except for, you know, if you want to do the zoning applications. And so that's kind of where it is. And now the mayor's like, we may pull it in-house, too, and do our own planning stuff in-house, have our own planning department, and do away with the MPC completely.
What would be the difference then?
You,
if it's already just within the city,
you'd have more control. It wouldn't be a separate entity.
Would these consist of then full-time city employees?
Oh, yeah. And you probably would hire some of the same staff, I would imagine.
Okay.
But you wouldn't have to have, you know, I mean, there would be a whole different way that it would be handled. So it sounds like he's looking at it.
Because right now the 9-member committee is, they're not volunteers, but they all have full-time jobs, which is why we had a 4-4 vote, because one of the committee members had to leave.
Yes.
Before the meeting was finished to go take care of his business.
His business, right. I mean, the meeting went 3.5 hours.
Right.
And he had been there, I assume, an hour or so before the meeting ever started. So
very interesting.
Big, big deal. So it's rough what the message that they voted yesterday, what that message sends.
Yes.
I don't think they realize.
And the mayor said what I was thinking, that this does not look good for us.
No,
this does not look good for us.
Yeah.
Michael Busada, local attorney, going to join us here in about 10 minutes. He was at the meeting. He spoke at the meeting. We'll hear what he has to say on the new data center. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
I've been saying Michael Busada. He might think he's in trouble because it's Mike.
His mama.
Yeah, Michael.
Said,
Michael.
Yeah.
If I heard Michael, I knew I was in trouble.
Yep.
Mike Busada joining us coming up right after the break. He was at the Metropolitan Planning Commission meeting. He spoke. We'll talk to him next. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL.
And McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, attorney Mike Busada joining us. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Was there some point in the meeting last night that you thought, oh, this is getting away from us?
You know, it's one of those things that I think that all of the concerns that were raised are obviously good concerns and good questions. And the issue that, you know, what I really hated was the fact that a lot of the information that was being put out there, you know, is just contrary to everything that we've seen, that we've studied, that we've witnessed in person. And I really feel like for a city that so desperately wants to grow its economy, to bring in new jobs, to expand, to stop the population decline, these are the type of projects that are the gold standard of doing that. And so I just want to make sure that we get the information out there, the correct information out there, to dispel some of these, you know, these myths that are out there.
And I'm talking about the meeting last night, the Metropolitan Planning Commission. I'm sorry, I didn't clear that up, for the proposed data center site out on Greenwood Road. A lot of public showed up. That was a full house. And there was a lot of, like we said, opposition from the public.
Explain what you do, Mike, with regard to data centers, because you've been working on the one in Rayville. You're deeply intertwined in all this, correct?
Yeah, so my practice is public project finance and economic development. So I represent local governments and local government entities and economic development organizations all throughout the state. On the Rayville project, I represented the state of Louisiana. And what my clients are looking for is, how can we attract these good jobs? How can we attract, you know, these massive revenue influxes in clean jobs? And so that's what I do, is I work with these different entities all across the state, from north to south, east to west, to help them attract economic development projects in general. And data centers are really the gold standard. I mean, that's what everybody is really fighting for right now.
There are people that think it's going to raise our electric rates. I want you to explain how that is not accurate.
Absolutely. And I would say this, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, there was some truth to that, because originally when data centers started coming online, the model was to go in and take existing limited capacity that was already being generated by utility companies that was just there not being used. And so it was really stretching their supply. And that did. There were some price fluctuations there. So what, you know, policymakers have really moved to, and this is what our Public Service Commission has essentially demanded in Louisiana, is that any new data centers that are taking that much power are going to essentially be required to pay for that. They're going to be required to pay for all the infrastructure that it takes. And that's exactly what's being done over in Richland Parish, is Entergy is paying for out of their pocket the money to build new generation facilities, to reinforce the grid. All that's coming out of their pocket. And quite honestly, one of the funny things that I always talk about is Entergy is their utility provider. Entergy also also provides utilities to people all the way down south in hurricane areas. There's a hurricane assessment. Well, Meta's not going to get hit by a hurricane in Rayville, but they're still paying the same assessments. Mm-hmm. And so, quite honestly, it eases the burden when there's the requirement that they pay for their own generation, and that's what was done there. And there's no reason to think that anything different will happen here.
So you say Entergy is paying for those new centers being built, the new processing plant. Is SWEPCO going to do the same thing in this area?
No, I can't speak to what SWEPCO is or isn't going to do. I can just tell you this, that it's been made very clear from policymakers that there is no appetite to allow for mass consumption without the companies paying for it. And I see nothing that would change that. All of the members of the Public Service Commission are extremely attuned to pricing. And when you know that the companies will pay for it, as they have in other areas, I think that there's no reason to think that anything different would happen here.
What about the strain on our water system and our wastewater system? That's been brought up as well. Is that a problem with data centers? Is it something we need to know about?
You know, counterintuitively, Aaron, I think that this project could help solidify our water system. And there was a lot of talk about that. You know, I work with the city on their water and sewer, on their bonds. And I can tell you right now that one of the problems that we have is not enough customers, a declining customer base. We built a system that was built for a much larger population. Like any good community that does proper planning, we built with the plan to grow. And so we have a ton of excess capacity. And so whether or not we sell that water, we're still paying for the infrastructure. It's just like if you have an apartment complex, whether or not you have two people renting or you have 200 people renting, the cost to run that complex and keep up the infrastructure is the same. The more people you have, the more you can spread it across. And so quite honestly, I think that this would be a significant new customer purchasing water, purchasing sewer, would actually benefit every single resident by helping us to keep rates as low as possible. If not, we're all paying for it, and our rates are going to have to go up to pay for it, because somebody's got to pay for the infrastructure. And if we don't have more customers, then it's on the existing customers.
Mm-hmm. I just think that's kind of ironic.
Yeah.
The major concern is our water. Well, what about
I can tell, and I'll tell you too, one of the things about it, I noticed in most cities, in most counties, or most parishes and cities in the state, the biggest fight is over which city gets to supply the water, because it's such a lucrative thing for the city. I mean, that's typically where the fight is. Is it going to be the parish? Is it going to be the city? Is it going to be a private water system? That is a significant financial benefit to any city, and it's fought over.
Well, I've got a couple questions. One, a lot of people raised concerns about noise around the facility. Is that a legitimate concern?
I actually thought that it was, and it always been led to believe it would be similar to going to like a GM facility or any other manufacturing industrial facility. And so went and took a trip to one of the largest data center campuses in the country, and I was blown away. I mean, it was quieter there than it is in a lot of places. I mean, I would compare it to like a hospital, being outside of a hospital that, by the way, also has backup diesel generators. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. I mean, they're extremely quiet. It's quieter than my neighborhood on a weekend, and really quieter than my neighborhood at any time. And people say, well, there's this ongoing hum. Well, if you've been there, I think you realize that everything makes an ongoing hum, your refrigerator, everything, but you don't notice that. And this is something that is, if I would challenge anybody that's concerned about that to go over to outside of Dallas, where they built several campuses, and just walk around, and you will be shocked. It is more quiet than anything else that would go in an industrial park.
We're talking with Michael Busada, and you just brought up what I was going to mention. This is an industrial park. It's being, some of the opposition is like, well, this is in our neighborhoods. This is not in a neighborhood. This is an industrial park.
Absolutely. And, you know, all the concerns, I mean, I fully appreciate the fact that there are citizens that are concerned that somebody is trying to put some facility that's going to be a pollutant in a, you know, in a you know, near neighborhood that is, you know, somebody said last night, somebody says they always put these in low-income neighborhoods. The problem is that's just not accurate. The largest concentration of data centers is in Loudoun County, Virginia. And if you go and look in Loudoun County, Virginia, let me just to compare that area where all these data centers are to our area here, their median income, family median income is $178,000 per household compared to ours, which is about $55,000.
Let me talk jobs before we got to let you go, because I'm looking at the Rayville facility. It looks like 500 direct jobs, 1,000 indirect jobs. But yesterday, the gentleman that was presenting said this is 100 to 150 jobs. Why don't we have more jobs for this one?
No, I mean, the jobs will be, it will be relative to the size. So you'll compare the size of the one over there. The jobs will be a relative number. So you should expect the same relative number of jobs in looking at 160 to 250, if that's the size of it. And I mean, look, if you look over in Rayville, you know, you see that that continues. You know, there's all kinds of reports out there about that continuing to grow. And so you're going to see significant jobs. And the other thing I think you're going to see is we've got a lot of data center manufacturing companies in Shreveport and in the region. SLB, you've got Fiberbond over in, you know, Minden. Mm-hmm. You've got Module X. We've got a ton. And if we can land big data centers here, that's going to be more jobs for all of those companies, which is desperately needed. We need to fill up the old GM plant, and we've got a data center manufacturing in there. Let's lean into it.
Yeah. Gosh, we could spend an hour talking with you, Mike.
Let's
appreciate your time. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Mike Busada, attorney with the data center meeting last night. And Michael McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I'm over here logging out like we're already done.
Reuben looked at me one time and goes, dude, I unplugged my headphones and was walking out. Reuben goes, dude, we're not finished. Like, oh, crap, that's right.
Man. I had something happen today that I just want y'all to know about because it's weird for me. I'm having things. I have a decent car, okay? We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, you think?
And I learn something new on it every day. And I don't know how lazy have we gotten where I can reach right there to my big screen TV in my car. I've got a big old screen.
Right.
And I can hit the button to turn the fan blowers up. You know, turn them. They go notches, like if you want them on high.
Right. Yeah, roll them down.
Yeah, and it goes up. Well, when I was getting in the car today, I don't know. I was drinking my beer and I'm not sure what all I was. I'm joking. I was tinkering around. And there's a button on my steering wheel where you can tell that screen what you want it to do.
Of course, you know, there is.
So I hit the little voice button and I said, turn up my temperature to 74. Okay, which I can do. And then I thought, well, the fans are still blowing pretty fast. I didn't want them blowing that hard. And so I hit the button and I said, turn the fans down. And she goes... She says, turn the fans to what speed? Between 0 and 9.
God.
And so I go, turn the fans to 2. So then she goes, fans now down to 2. She turned my fan. Cars are smarter than we are now.
Oh, yeah. Not mine. My truck.
It pulled me out of, like we were talking with Temple yesterday or day before.
Right.
And, And my car pulled me out of a lane because I was about to merge over into the right lane into another car.
Because you didn't turn your head to look.
And I even have those little lights that come on the mirrors that say there's a car in that lane, there's a car. But I wasn't paying attention to that either. At 4 in the morning, there's never any traffic. So I start to pull over into the right lane, and lo and behold, there's a car there. So my car broke, hit its brakes, and then moved me back. Oh, I thought, God, they've gotten too smart for me.
Where gets the clock?
I know, sorry.
Go get in your Bentley. 101.7 FM, 710.